where we're going to go. Joshua chapter 2 in the Bible. Would you look there with me, please? We're going to look at a somewhat familiar story and how we can apply it to our life today. Joshua chapter 2 in the Bible. Let's look there. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pew. There should be. And if there's not, look on with someone else, please. Because God's Word has great things for us today. Now here's what we're going to do. We're going to read verses 1 to verse number 7, but there's more of the chapter we'll look at later on. But what I'd like for us to do is read responsibly. That means I read verse 1, you all read verse 2, and then we go back and forth, and we'll finish with verse number 7 in our reading here. So we're in Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Look again at verse number 1 with me, please. The Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land.'" Interesting, the song this morning, "The Jericho Road." And it was Jericho here in the book of Joshua that God wanted the people to see. This was what he has plans for. He said, "Go view the land." During Lyndon Johnson's administration, the first lady flew to Cleveland one day and then decided to return to Washington by car. Reservations were made for the party of 20 to eat at a Howard Johnson restaurant. How many remember Howard Johnson restaurants? The orange roof, right? And then they had hotels and stuff too. During lunch, one of the servers was clearly nervous. Afterwards, the press secretary thanked the girl and said the nervousness was understandable. "After all," she said, "it isn't every day that you serve Mrs. Lyndon Johnson." "Mrs. Lyndon Johnson," the waitress said, "I thought it was Mrs. Howard Johnson." "Had the boss here, the boss's wife." God's eyes can search the heart. Our eyes can see the evidence on the outside of what might be going in, but God knows what's going on the inside. There's nothing hidden from him. If we are willing to see what he sees in ourselves, then and only then will real change for the better be possible. Change to be in the image, as the Bible tells us in the New Testament, of Jesus Christ. But only if we have his glasses on, only if we're willing to see what he sees. And there's some real ugliness inside that God wants to take care of. But he can, amen, he can. But he says, "You must do it and see it my way." I'd like to share with you this morning, as we look at this lady, Rahab, kind of from her perspective, how God worked in her life. And the statement that we'll look at and see throughout the passage here is what to do when the Lord watches you. What to do when the Lord watches you. Joshua told these men, "Go view the land. Go observe. Go see what you can see." And the Bible tells us clearly God can see everything around us. But what should we do? What should we do in response to that? I think God has some real answers, even in this this Old Testament story and along with other scriptures that can help us get on his side and see with his vision. You know, it'd be good to have God's vision. Amen. It'd be good to have God. Not only do we see the bad or the things that need changing, but we can see the great potential. We can see the great opportunities, the great things that he can use either through us or around us for his glory. But he says there's some things you need to keep in mind. What to do when the Lord watches you. Before we go any further, would you bow with me and we'll pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, how I thank you that your mercy is so great. If we truly got what we deserve from you, oh Heavenly Father, what a terrible day that would be. But because you're merciful and gracious and loving, but because you even bring blessings on the just and the unjust, we can get up today and say, what a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Even better is to have the Savior, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior, to receive his invitation of salvation and to live in the new life. Oh God, thank you. And yet there are needs here with us. There might be a need for that salvation in a person's life. I pray, would you open the eyes, help them to see what you see, so they too can have Christ as their Savior. Lord, there's a need in the Christian's life with us today. There's sadness. There's fear. Perhaps bitterness. Perhaps anger. Whatever's going on in our hearts, Lord, help us to see what you see and make the decisions that would draw us closer to you and not keep us away from you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Would you please use this in our lives now? We give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What to do when the Lord watches you? The Bible says in verse 1, they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. They lodged there. They were let in. Let me share with you one thing that God wants you and I to do when the Lord's watching us, when he's examining us. He wants us to let him in. Let the Lord in. Let the Lord in. You know, amazing, the creator of everything we see, the God who holds our very breath in his hands, leaves it up to us to let him in. Doesn't that humble you? It humbles me. When God can do anything he wants, he gives me the freedom, the will to choose or even reject him. And I encourage you, let the Lord in. How do we do that? Well, the Bible tells us, let God's word lodge in your heart. Let God's word lodge in your heart. A couple things to do about that. By reading it and studying it. You know, it's a blessing to be able to read the Bible, but it's good to know what it says and what it means. Amen? A lot of academic people have the Bible on their shelf, but they have no idea what the truth of it is because they don't really put it to application in their heart. They don't accept it as the Word of God. I believe beyond the shadow of a doubt, the Word of God that I have in my hands right here is the very words of God. That's a conviction we have at Grace Baptist Church. And can I share with you, until you come to that conclusion, this will be just another book on the shelf. Part of it will be meaningful and the other part will be, well, that's not for me. You know, that's just not what I believe. Well, God says, take it all. Take it all. The Word of God is all true or it's all false. It's as simple as that. And it is all true. Let it lodge in your heart by reading it, by studying it, by listening to it. Take time to study through what some of these places are. You and I may never be able to go see some of these places in the world. Some of us have, some of us won't. But the Bible tells us, you know, there's some areas of the world we can get a better understanding by knowing why they had to go up the mountain. How come on the map it's south and they had to go up? Well, the topography of the land, or why people did the things they did, looking through Bible atlases and commentaries and concordances and finding out what is the purpose of this particular verse and for me in my life. By the way, the Bible is its best commentary. Let me tell you that. The Bible is its best commentary. But so you got to be careful. what some of the things that are written by men say. But do take time to study it. And then meditate on it. Meditate on it. I'm here to tell you, folks, we can spend hours on Facebook and Instagram and chirp and slap and chip and whatever there is out there on social media. The newest one is YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook getting together. You've heard their new name for theirs, YouTwitface. And, you know, that's kind of stuff we can spend hours on that. But man, 15 minutes in the Bible is eternity for us. Have you ever wondered why that is? Because the soul naturally is opposed to God. The spirit, the old man, the Bible calls him for the Christian, is naturally opposed. But you and I need to willingly lodge God's word in our heart. And as we do, when we let the Lord in, it also includes comparing ourselves to our Savior. Compare yourself to the Savior. The Bible says in verse 1, they lodged there. Something interesting in verse number 2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. The men were sent to search, to find, to observe. Compare yourself to the Savior. You know, let him search you out. Let him search you out. We're quick to stop others search us out, are we not? Who are you to tell me what to do? Who made you the boss? Well, God says, I am the boss. He is the boss. He's the creator of all things. Turn with me to Psalm 139, please. Psalm 139. And we're looking at verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, longest book in the Bible, chapter-wise. We're looking at verse number 23. In Psalm 139, here's what he says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Compare yourself to the Savior. Over and over in the scriptures, it encourages us to compare ourselves to the Savior. Our Heavenly Father, the Bible says in 1 Peter and 2 Peter, be ye holy even as God is holy, as he is holy. Jesus Christ is our mold that we are to fall into or to grow into. God says, that's the plan. That's the image, the mold I'd like you to grow into. 2 Corinthians 10 gives us the warning in verse number 12. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. What does the Apostle Paul tell in the Corinthian church? You've been looking at each other and you've been making the pecking order. Who's the best? Who's the worst? Who's got this? Who doesn't? And he put it really nicely. That's not wise. If something's not wise, what is it? It's foolish. Foolish. Yeah, God says, listen, you want to be a fool? He's not going to stop us, but he'll let us know. He'll let us know. The Bible tells you and me, we're not to compare to one another, but to compare to our Savior. Have you ever thought if you compared yourself to the Savior, how different your life would be? How different? Different the way I would think. Different the way I act. Definitely different the way I talk, the things I say. Bible says our tongue is like a world of iniquity that's left unbridled without Christ being the one in control. Oh boy, compare ourselves to Christ. Compare ourselves to Christ in order to let the Lord in. And then a third thought about letting him in, receive Jesus and his salvation. If you need Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us that Jesus is, he says, I'm standing at the door in Revelation 22. I stand at the door and knock. He's the one waiting for us. Not us waiting for him. He's waiting for us. Notice verse number 3 back in our passage, Joshua chapter number 2. Verse 3, the Bible says, The king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. Here's this lady. She was not, by the way, she was not a nice lady. She's not the kind of lady you would hope your daughter grew up to be like. Bible says she was a harlot, which meant she sold her body for money. She did things for men so that she could have money to pay for things. Now, she was not destitute. The Bible says that she had parents. She had siblings. Later on, it talks about her brethren. But here she was. This was the life she had chosen. And it was a broken life. It was a broken life. Folks, the Bible clearly shows us, and even observation and experience tell us, when we give our life to somebody other than God and His purposes, we're in for a hard life. Hard. There's loss. There's hurt. There's missed opportunities. Let me ask you a question. Do you need to receive Jesus and let Him in? Rahab, though she was not living a right life, she did something very interesting. Something got a hold of her and showed her that all the gods that she had in Jericho or had been taught about were all failing her. Her very name had the name of one of them, Rahab, Ra, the sun god. Her idolatrous parents named her after an idol. And yet she saw that they failed her. Do you know the things of this earth will fail you as it has failed many before yet? But Jesus will not. His salvation's forever. Rahab could not hide her interest and belief that Israel would be victorious. She had gotten word from the king of Jericho. She was a person of interest. Interestingly enough that the king sent guys to her, and the Bible doesn't say that he sent guys to anybody else. I need my police force to go look this up, and we've heard about Rahab. She's been questioning things already, and now somebody said they saw some foreigners get into her house. Go check it out. Go check it out. We know who they are. They're those Hebrews. They're coming. You know, person of interest is actually a legal term. It is a phrase used by law enforcement when announcing the name of someone involved in a criminal investigation but has not been arrested or formally accused of a crime. It is someone that is set apart from everyone else. So here's a question I'd like to ask you. Is there enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Are you a person of interest to the world? You know, the truth is that the person of interest for Christ doesn't always have the bed of roses for them, but they can always have the joy of God in them. They can always have the love of the Lord available to them, but they must let the Lord in. Must let the Lord in. I'm sad to say, as a Christian, I've let my Lord down. I've failed Him before. But yet, you know something about God? When I ask Him forgiveness, you know what He does? It's done. 1 John 1:9, if you know it, say it with me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the way our God deals with people. That's the way He deals with His children. Confess, agree with Him, seek out forgiveness from Him. And the Bible says, it's a done deal. On the inside out, you got clean. You're clean. You're clean. I like how Brother Doug shares it regularly. We need to settle the accounts as soon as possible. Settle the accounts as soon as possible. Let the Lord in when He watches you. Number two. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 2. Look at verse number 8. Let's continue on with the story. It says in verse 8, And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. And what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Here's the second thing when God's watching over us. Let others hear about the Lord. Let others hear about the Lord. This was a lady who was wicked in her life. And yet what did she say? Your Lord. And notice the word Lord there in the Bible. Look at what it says. It's all caps. Your Jehovah God, your Yahweh God is in heaven above and in earth beneath. He is the God all around us. Wow. Let others hear about the Lord. Here's a few thoughts about letting others hear about the Lord. First of all, let them hear you praise God. Let them hear you praise God. Instead of complaining about all the things in life and the people and what's not working out, how about giving God praise? How about giving him glory for the things that he does every day? Psalm 150 in verse number 2 says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let them hear you praise the Lord on a daily basis. And secondly, let them know you pursue souls. You pursue souls. So many folks in this world, they pursue things far beyond other than souls or the need for souls to come to Christ. They pursue wealth. If I just had that $1 million, I know I'd be happy. They pursue fame. If everybody knew my name, boy, I would be on top of the world. They pursue anything that's worldly, anything, and it all perishes. It won't last. We read in Sunday school this morning, it is sure that you can take nothing, you brought nothing into this world, and you can take nothing out. Yeah. All those treasures they buried at the Egyptian kings, somebody stole them. The Egyptians didn't take them into the netherworld. Anything we put in the casket with our loved ones whom we love and we're thankful and those memories are there is still in the casket with them. You see, the souls are only the things that are going to go into eternity. And even then, if it's a lost soul, the Bible says he will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The things of this world, at the very least, they'll end. But the lost soul without Christ will continue on and pay for sin on his own, on her own. But do you know that when Jesus pays for our sin, we got something to praise God about, amen? We got something to give God the glory for. And I'm talking every day, amen? Every day. Pursue lost souls daily. Pursue them with prayer. Take a look at verse number 12 here in Joshua. Now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Pursue them with prayer. When she says I pray you, here's what she's saying. I ask you, I beg of you, would you please give me an assurity that my family can be saved? I know you're going to destroy this city. Would you please give me something of assurance and that salvation? You know, prayer is simply this, asking. Asking. That's what it means. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them how to ask God things. And I mean ask for big things. Amen? Ask for big things because we got a big God. Here's a few thoughts about prayer that others have said. John Bunyan, writer of Pilgrim's Progress, said this, prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. That means time without prayer opens us up to some of the fiery darts. Dwight Moody, the great evangelist, he said this, some men's prayers need to be cut short on both ends and set on fire in the middle. How's your prayers? How's your prayers? You know, everyone you love dearly who you believe needs Christ as Savior, needs your prayers. I'm convinced as I read in the scriptures and as I've seen in life too, that no one comes to Christ without having had someone pray for them. At the very least, we know Jesus did. He said, blessed are those that see, but blessed are those that believe and have seen not, to believe on him. The Bible tells us prayer, pursue them. Pursue them with urgency, urgency. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. No guarantees for tomorrow. No guarantees at all. We have plans. We have preparation. But the guarantees are in God's hand. Amen. He says, listen, don't put salvation off for tomorrow. If you need it, receive it today. Receive it today. Pursue them with scripture. Let's turn to this one. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 in the New Testament. And we're looking at verse 17. Would you read this verse with me? It's Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Let's read it out loud together, please. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's contained in these pages is what leads me to Christ. It's faith and believing what they say. The Bible says about Jesus, about calling on him, about what God's great gift is. Believing it, calling on him. That brings salvation through Christ. But it's the pages of Scripture that opens it up. That's how we get to see what Jesus does for us. Not just for salvation, but following salvation. Amen. I'm thankful that God didn't leave me alone after I accepted him as Savior. And he said, good boy, I'll be back when you draw your last breath. That's not what he said. Amen. He lives with us through every day too. Pursue them with scripture. And then in regards to souls, pursue them with love. With love. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, this is the Apostle Paul. He said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Some. He knew not everybody was going to turn to Jesus. He saw a lot of them. Amen. I'm so thankful. But because of love, love for the Savior, and love for them, he was willing to do things that nobody else had done before. Man, I'll eat the crawdads, you know. Have anybody ever had those things? They look so nasty. I don't know why someone would eat those things. Man, I'll sit in this, you know, in this community situation. I'll do that. I'll be with you. I won't partake in sinful things. But even though there are cultural differences, I'll be willing. It was a blessing to see in history that the British missionaries, when they went to various countries, they did their best to draw them to Christ and win them to souls. But what they often tried to do is win them to the English way of life first. And they missed a lot of opportunities. Missionaries today, they try to teach them English. They try to do various things, not bad things, but they ignored the culture. Missionaries today, they spend years trying to learn the language and the culture. They spend time trying to get to know the people and bring them into their home for Bible studies and lead them to Christ. Many of our missionaries have done that. That's how their churches get started. They've taken time to love these people, and they love them because they love Jesus, because they love Christ. Pursue them with love. Let others hear about the Lord. Then a final thought. Let's go back to Joshua. When the Lord watches you, let him in. When the Lord watches you, let others hear about him. And finally, when the Lord watches you, let your faith increase in him. Let your faith increase in him. You know, it's not automatic. It's a decision like any other that God places before us. Will you trust me, he says. Will you trust me with this? Take a look, verse number 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. Let your faith increase in him. This lady, though her life was shambles, she began to grow in faith. She began to realize that the Yahweh God, Jehovah God, he was the only living God in heaven and earth. There was none other. She proved it and showed it by following the instructions of the spies, and she let the cord stay visible the day they left. Now, how many days were they supposed to be in the mountains? 3 days. Then they went back. The Bible says they crossed back through the area where Jericho would have been undercover, and they made it back to Joshua and the rest of the people. And a few days later, so you're talking, let's say, 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, she had that scarlet thread, that scarlet line, hanging from her window. Let me ask you this. How many people would have seen it? Everybody. Everybody who came in and out of town. Huh, that's interesting. Wonder why that's up there. Oh, that's Rahab. Have you ever heard of her? Yeah. They say she's on the enemy's side. They say she might be a traitor, but, you know, there's no evidence out there just yet. But, boy, that sure looks condemning right there. What was she doing? She was unafraid of the consequences. Her faith began to grow. She made the decision. All right, Lord, I'll do it your way. And what comes may come. The king had already known her name. The police had already been sent to her house. Things were not looking good for her in Jericho, but with God, they were just starting. Wow, what a life she had after that. Let's take a look some more about this. The Bible tells us, let your faith increase in the Lord. Rahab showed faith by protecting the spies. We saw that in verse 1 and 15 and 16. The Bible tells us that even Rahab herself was honored later on in the scriptures. James chapter 2 and verse 25 says this, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. What the Bible's telling us there in James 2, she had proven her faith by what she did. Her actions spoke what was going on in the heart. Her faith, she let it increase. She continued to grow. God provided faithful by saving Rahab and her family. He proved to be faithful to her. Hebrews chapter 11. Would you look there, please? Hebrews in chapter 11. And we're looking at verse 31 in Hebrews 11. Actually, we'll start with verse number 30. I mean, this is the hall of faith, folks. This is the chapter where those that have been faithful to God over the history are mentioned right here by word, by name. Here's what it says in verse number 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She did not perish with those that didn't believe, it says. So her faith was clear. And God proved faithful to her. Finally, we see more of God's faithfulness as we trust in him. We see more of God's faithfulness as we put our faith in him. You know, God doesn't need to get more faithful. God doesn't need to get more faithful. His word is always true. Amen. He will always fulfill it. It's us who need to get more trusting. Increase our faith. I read a poem here some time ago, and here's what it says. Lord, I'm so discouraged, I don't know what to do. I have so many burdens, and I gave them all to you. But you didn't take them, Jesus. Will you tell me why that's so? And the answer goes, the answer's simple, little one, because you just won't let go. Faith. Lord, it's in your hands, not mine anymore. Because I can't handle it like you can. If you're still in Hebrews, would you look in chapter 13? We'll finish with this. Grow in faith. Grow in faith. Let your faith grow in him. Chapter 13, verse number 5 and 6. Would you read those with me when we get there? Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let's begin. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Old man's got some pretty powerful weapons, but man, the Lord is more powerful. Man's got some things that might ease the flesh, but God's got things that brings lasting joy. Man's got relationships that might make us feel pretty good for a while, but God has an eternal relationship that brings everlastingness. All the Bible tells us, let's grow in our faith. Let's let the Lord in. And the Bible tells us you and I need to let others hear about the Lord. Is the Lord watching you? Is he examining you? Why don't you let him have his way? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. And yes, Lord, we need you today. Now some might need us, might need you, Lord, need you and your son for salvation. I pray this would be the day of salvation for them. And not put it off. Some might simply need your forgiveness. Oh, Father, if we truly see ourselves as you do, we know there are changes that need to be made and forgiveness need to be asked. Some we might need to just take another step in our Christian life. You've laid it before us and we've been hesitant. Well, now, Lord, I pray you would increase our faith. Help us to see your way is the best. May you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. With heads bowed, please, and eyes closed. Would you stand with me at this time? Would you stand with me, please? In a moment, I'm going to ask the organ to play softly the song we'll sing. And if the Lord's speaking to you, would you respond when she does? Salvation is the greatest gift on earth ever you'll ever receive. If you haven't, you can have it right now. I'm going to stand down in the front. I'll have my Bible. I'll show you clearly and easily how God's gift is easily received by faith through him, through Christ. Perhaps you have something to bring before the Lord with heads bowed and eyes closed. This is the time to do it. Let's not wait. Let's not put it off and let it grow some more. No, get it on God's shoulders. Settle the account now. Maybe he's given you a task. A mission to do. You've been hesitant. Hey, let's not wait on that. If God's way is the best with heads bowed and eyes closed, then we know he's got something big planned if we just take the step. Lord, would you have your way during this time of invitation in Jesus' name? Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. She begins to play. How about you?